I don't know how you feel about this morning, but I have already been tremendously blessed being here at the service. My wife couldn't attend with me here this morning due to sickness. About her last words were, "I just wish I could go. I enjoy going and visiting other churches." So it's not that she didn't want to come. Might make one other announcement here. There's a couple of comments I'd like to make before I start the message. Arlington Church is sponsoring a fundraiser tomorrow evening for Alan and Fanny Miller at the PAC. There have been some health issues and some other things that have seemed to pile up for them. It's 5 to 8, hamburgers, fries, and ice cream there at the PAC. That's tomorrow evening. So if you want to join us for that, we would welcome that. I think it has been about 4.5 years since I've been here. Some of your faces are a little new. I also, as I was reminiscing, one of the things I do miss is some of the older men who have passed away in the last 10 or 15 years. As I see things, you know, passing on, I see a lot of children and grandchildren. You know, I miss the Alvin, the David L's, the Sam, the Menos, Melvin, Harvey, Ollie, Fred's, Christy, Perry, Elmer, Edward. And I probably missed a few. My apologies to those who I have missed. But as I was growing up, as Cedar Crest was being built, as this addition was put on, I remember working with many of those men. And I cherish that time with them. Maybe that speaks more of my age as well. But I had a lot of appreciation for those people. One other comment I may make, I appreciated the Hands of Christ presentation, and I would be curious to know how long ago it's been since Hands of Christ has been going, but if I correctly recall, I was here to preach on the Sunday that Tim Miller stood up to announce the name that was chosen for the organization, and I'm not sure when that was. Does somebody know when that name was decided on, or which year that was? Paul? Around, okay, you say around 2010. Okay, well, I just found that interesting that I was here on that Sunday that was announced. And with that all being said, the topic that I chose for today in some ways feels like I wouldn't have anything to say because of what's already been said, but it has to do with spirit fruit. And when I see people who are helping other people, people who are showing Christ, I just cannot be amazed about the difference that can make in people's lives. And yet I know and the reason I've chosen this subject is not because of the need I see here, but it's because of a need I've seen in my own life who feels like, yes, I want to be who God wants me to be, but do I always show the fruit? Is God really ingrained so deeply in me that even when I'm caught off guard or impulsively, that I respond in a way that directs other people to Christ? And that is where my heart is at today, is can we really show Christ to other people? I was talking with a man. I was giving a fence estimate here on, I think it was on Thursday of this last week. I probably was at this man's house for a half an hour. I think we talked about fence for 10 minutes, and he was eager to talk about the Lord for the rest of the time. His name was Tom, and he, some of you may have already met him, but he didn't just talk about the weather, but questions like, are you a Christian, and do you understand the blood and what it means to you? And I've had numerous fence dealings with him before. He's moved numerous times, and I always get called to do some more fence at his place. But you can't talk with him more than 15 minutes, but he's talking about the Lord and his relationship and what the Lord has done in his life. And he says that everybody within three blocks, which is probably 40 or 50 houses, has heard the plan of salvation. And he's not doing it, he's not telling me this because he has a frown on his face. But he's telling me because he's excited about what the Lord has done for him, and he's excited to tell the people. And it's obvious because you just barely meet with him, and he is wanting to talk about the Lord, not about things that need to be done around the house. And I appreciate that. But as we look at the fruits of the Spirit, I'd like to look at that. I'm mostly going to talk about love, look a little bit at some of the others, but I feel love is one of the most basic things that we have in the fruits of the Spirit, and it affects some of the other things. But I just recognize the fact that love is not always easy. We come across people who are a bit unlovely, who are a challenge to love, the things they've done, the way they live. I think if we're honest with ourselves, it's just a little tough. And that may be for people who you meet in Hands of Christ. It may be people you share the pews with. But God commands us to love and to share that love with others. We are known by our fruits. And the book that I used quite heavily was John Drescher's Spirit Fruit. But I also recognize the fact that as we all have gifts, as Christians we have gifts that we can bless others with. But if we don't have the fruits of the Spirit, those gifts can be rather obnoxious and difficult. We can have the best of intentions, and we can are greatly skilled. And I have to admit, I can see this in our own church at Arlington. We have some people who are extremely skilled. But if some of the fruits are missing, just the gentleness, the love, it feels like those gifts are rejected and are not maximized to their full potential. And I think that can so easily happen in a church. But as we have our gifts and as we have the fruits of the Spirit within us, those that God gives to us, the ones that we're allowed to work through us, why then we can maximize those gifts by the fruits. Let's turn to Galatians 5. I'd like to read there where we have the fruits of the Spirit and the message to so walk in the Spirit. And of course, we have the opposites here listed in Galatians 5. We're going to be starting at verse 13. But it talks about walking in the Spirit so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We see these things, these two opposite things. And of course, it's not the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh are very negative. And we see that. But the fruits of the Spirit can be such a blessing and can share God's love to others in that way. So starting at Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we see here the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, the works of the flesh. The fruits of the Spirit are something that should radiate from our life as Christians in a very real way. It's something that should be seen. Our walk of life, the way we conduct ourselves, is not something that we are to be noticed for ourselves, but it should be what other people see in us, see God at work. As we talk with people, can they see that Christ-like spirit? Paul Quillen once says, we are no more Christian than our lives are Christ-like, and the work of the Holy Spirit is to make us Christ-like. And I think that is so true. As we come in contact with people who don't know the Lord, we may be the only Bible that they see. What are their impressions? It may be that flat tire. It may be cleaning out that house. It may somehow be showing love in a way that points them to Christ. I think if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, it is that way. It does point to God. In order for us to have the Spirit, we need to walk closely with the Lord. And I think we would say also that we know people by their fruits. And in fact, in Scripture, we have that in Matthew 7, some of the Sermon on the Mount. We see some of Jesus' words here. He was, of course, commending them in Matthew 7 that they are not to judge other people. And this was talking about the mote and the beam that is in their eyes. And then also, right after that, several verses later, he talks about the false prophets and reminding them that ye shall know them by their fruits. And I think I'd like to make this application that as people see us at work, it is okay for us to show them our fruits. It is okay for them to see that Jesus makes a difference in our lives. It's okay for them to see that we do things differently, that we spend our time differently, that we are willing to give up our time to help those in need. That's important. Like to just read several of those verses, Matthew 7. Well, I'll just read here this to get it in context where it does talking about their false prophets. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. But I see this, that it's clearly talking about the false prophets and those that are not of the Lord. But I also think it is true that when we have God in our lives and they see our fruits, that people will know us by their fruits. It's not so that they see us, but it's so that they see Christ in us. We can be a good testimony. How we love the church, how we love God, is a testimony that we should not be able to hide. People who are our neighbors can see how we can see things in us, and they see our priorities. They see our everyday living. We have a neighbor who lives across the road who was not as excited about us moving to our location as we were. And it has taken a lot of time and effort to where the look when we meet him on the road is our direction and not the opposite direction. And it takes time. And I don't mean this to bring honor to ourselves, but it has been a journey for us, and we do some babysitting. My wife has done some babysitting for the grandchild. The other day as I came home and I found him sitting on the porch waiting to pick up his grandchild after a day of babysitting, only to find out that nobody was at home and he was waiting on somebody that wasn't there. But he didn't care. He was just contentedly sitting on our porch and relaxing and willing to talk about things that were happening while we waited for his grandson to come by. My wife had him at the neighbor's. But I relish that opportunity to spend time with neighbors who don't know the Lord. And one of the things that broke the ice, I think I may have shared this here before, one of the things that broke the ice in our relationship was when I appealed to him for some help in retrieving my skid steer out of the mud. And he was honored to do that because he viewed Mennonites as people who didn't need other people's help. And yet when I admitted I was stuck, and by the way, I did try everything I possibly could before I resorted to that. Unfortunately, that was the case. I should have gone to him much quicker. I asked him, I didn't ask him to come right away, but he came right away because he felt privileged to do that. Now, he did get his favorite pie in response to that, and he told someone else, I wish he'd get stuck a little often. But those are things that just take time, and those are things that build relationships. But I think as we have God working with us and inside of us, we can open our lives to where our neighbors hopefully can see a little bit of God, can see a little bit of that fruit that should be in us. You know, God is a wonderful example of loving people who are unlovely. 1 John 4:7 through 11, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What is our love level for those we meet? Do we understand God's love for us? There was a saying at the Methodist Church that I seen in town here just several weeks ago. In light of Jesus on the cross, the biggest insult to God is when we doubt his love for us. Can we say that, does God love us? Do other people love us? But I think it gives a picture of that spirit fruit that we can have inside of us. What love can we share with those around us? God's love is incredible. He knew that we were sinners. He knew that we needed to come to salvation. Didn't matter that we were born a Mennonite. We needed to accept him as our personal Savior. We need to feel his love. You know, there's quite a few other examples we have in the New Testament. The woman at the well, Matthew, the tax collector, and of course, Jesus was accused of spending time with sinners instead of with them. What is our level of love? Do we have a genuine love for that down and out person who feels rejected? Maybe they've had something difficult happen in their life, like what we've seen here about somebody hoarding because of something that's difficult. And I know there's big things that happen that change people, and they don't always know why. They can't always seem to help themselves. But I think the love that we can show those people, make them feel accepted by God, can go a long ways in getting out of their ruts and to understand who they are and who they could be in God. You know, one of love's purposes for us to love other people is for redemption. As we show love to the person who does not know God, the reason we can show them love is so they can feel God's love, and so they can be redeemed, so they also can feel God's love in a real way. I think we can share some of that love to other people, not only by them seeing our love for God, but also as they see our love for the church, the bride of Christ. And I think as a body of believers, you can help, as you have your relationship with God, and as your relationship is real, other people are challenged with that. And your love for other people can also encourage other people in their love for God and your fellow men. You know, when we love as God loved, it affects how we look at those we spend our Sunday mornings with. You know, we're willing to sacrifice our personal desires for the sake of the brotherhood. We're willing to give those things up. We understand that relationships are more important than my preferences. We know that love will want to hear others' viewpoints more than they want to impose their on others. But love as a spirit fruit does wonderful things in the life of a church. There is much evidence. You know, we know people by their fruit. We know people by the things they do. It's not often as much what they say, but it's by the actions. We shall know them by their fruits. It's the things that they just do. We know them by their fruits. Those things automatically come out. You know, love is visible. Love is not something that you can hide very well. A love for your spouse. Maybe a couple that is dating. Love is very visible. Love is visible when we have that relationship with God and it affects the things we do. Love is action. Love is not just passive. When we're excited about the Lord, it makes a difference. The things we say, you know, I dare say all of us, if somebody comes to us, maybe somebody out the streets and talks to us about the Lord, we're fine with entering into that conversation. So maybe you ladies are shopping at Walmart and somebody comes and talks to you about the Lord. You're willing to participate. But how many of us are willing to go and initiate a conversation? That's the difference. When I met Tom the other day, and I knew that we would probably be talking about spiritual things because I just know that's how he is, and I'm fine with that. And I would have felt perfectly fine initiating that conversation. But he was willing to talk about, I mean, in my opinion, he was willing to talk about before we even got our business done because he just couldn't wait to talk about his relationship with God. And that's refreshing. I enjoy that. But our spirit fruit is just something that needs to come out. It comes out, Matthew 5, also a part of the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Here again, talks about our neighbor, those people that we affect, the people we rub shoulders with, the people that are unlovely. Love those people. Show them the mind of Christ. Our attitudes can get picked up very quickly by people who have been hurt. I have found that especially true, that people are extremely sensitive to feeling your love. If they have done something very wrong, if they have had difficult things happen in their life, and people tend to be quick to judge, but they are also quick to feel the love of people who have looked past that. And I tell this story of a man. He was a young man. He was handicapped, and it happened when I was taking care of handicapped children at a children's home back 40 years ago. I still remember the story quite well. But though he was handicapped, he could feel the love of people that took care of him in such a way that I'm just amazed. But it taught me a lesson. This man, this young fellow, I'm going to say was a bit difficult to love. Just his mannerisms, the way he was. But my job was to sit beside him, take care of him at meals. And one of the things that he reacted when he did not feel loved is he would keep putting food in his mouth, but he just wouldn't swallow. Well, there comes a time when you can only do that for so long. until you have a problem. I was frustrated with that. And the training supervisor pulled me aside one day and he says, he thinks the problem is that I fail to love him as I should. He said, if I would love him as I ought, he would be able to swallow his food and eat without any complications. That was a little bit hard to swallow. Excuse the pun. I took his word for it, and I worked on that attitude, on my attitude, my love. And he was right. The problem went away. Not that I really did anything different, except I changed my attitude and I changed my love. People that are sensitive can be sensitive to those kind of things. We have no idea. How is our love for those who are difficult to love? I've spent quite a bit of time talking about love. I'd like to look briefly at the other fruits of the Spirit that we have here. I won't be talking on them long, but I'd just like to mention some of these others. It's joy. It's the joy we can have, joy for salvation. This Tom fellow that I was talking about, it's the joy. It's the excitedness about talking about it. It's something that happens because of that relationship that runs deep. It's a personal relationship. Joy only comes if there's peace, contentment, and thankfulness. We can have that joy. But we need to have that joy in the Lord. It has to come when we have those other things in line. Peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace with our fellow man, a peace in our hearts. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When I think above the peacemakers, I think of pieces of a puzzle. They're all various sizes, various shapes. And yet, as a church, as a brotherhood, if they all fit together, it is something very, very beautiful. We need peacemakers. We don't need the P-I-E-C-E makers, but we need the P-E-A-C-E makers. We need those who create peace, not those that make for pieces. But I think the church is like a puzzle. And as we have the fruits of the Spirit, we can have something very, very beautiful. The next fruit that's mentioned is long-suffering. Can we be patient with those around us? What do we expect, or what do we want other people to expect of us? Can we be patient? Can we treat others like we would like to be treated? Do we give others time to grow in the Lord? Do we encourage them on life's journey? I think encouragement is one of the best things we can do. Gentleness. Are we gentle with how we react? There's always more room for gentleness, I think. We all like when people are gentle with us. We tend to come across pretty harsh, but we like when people are gentle with us. Goodness in speech and conduct. I think here of goodness, I think of Hands of Christ. I would just bless you for your ministry here, but as we are the hands of Christ, we can be such a blessing. I mean, you have very much going for you. I think you have a ministry that is well recognized and very much appreciated from many, many people. And just encourage you to keep that up. It does make a difference in people's lives. The spirit of goodness, blessing people with your abilities, your time, is something that is a blessing. Faith. Mentioned here are faithfulness, reliable, trustworthy, steadfast, even in difficult times. We need rock-solid people in our churches. Being trustworthy is a big factor. I mean, the fact of letting someone in your house, maybe only you've only let several other people because you didn't trust them. What made it different for that person who let somebody in who was a hoarder? I think it's because they just felt that spirit that's just different. They didn't feel that condemnation. They felt, I'd rather help rather than condemn. Meekness, humility. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. When we act with humility, it opens the doors for us to be used of God. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus' words, a good example for us, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And then the last one we have is temperance, the spirit of self-control. Are we controlled by the Spirit? Are we sensitive to his leading? Do we move with that still small voice? Self-control is not possible when you're not in tune with God. Only as we are with him. We use our tongues. Tongues can cut. They can hurt. They divide. But tongues can also be such a blessing and encouragement. People can see what we're made of. In conclusion, I'd like to just challenge you the test of where are we at in our actions? Do we have the Spirit of Christ entrenched in our hearts and live these lives with the fruit of the Spirit in us? Can we love the unlovable? Can our gifts be tempered with the fruits that can be a blessing to the church or to anyone we meet at any time? I trust that we can make a difference in people's lives if we have those fruits dwelling within us. Let us kneel for prayer. Dear Lord, just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you can make a difference in our lives. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your blood. That you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, I just pray that we could have the fruits of your Spirit radiating out of our lives so that other people would want more of you. May you just guide and bless the words that have been spoken today. Be with the congregation here. Would you just bless them as they serve you faithfully? In Jesus' name, amen.